Hello, my name is Nyamka, and I want to thank you so much for joining me for my podcast, Rebranded Christianity. And the title of the teaching for this podcast is Gandhi's Rejection, Divorcing the Legacy of Racism Among White Christians. And I'm going to say that again. Gandhi's Rejection, Divorcing the Legacy of Racism Among White Christians. Now, before I get in, this is going to be a four-part series. You're listening to part number one, which is the introduction, just giving you a basis, a background, and a context for this series for the upcoming segments in it. Now, before I get sort of into the teaching for this podcast, I do want to plug a few things that I'm working on. I have a web-based television program. It's entitled 50 Faith Motivate. And you can find that on YouTube under my username, Nyamka Ward, no spaces. You can also find it on Vimeo, and the website for the Vimeo page is going to be vimeo.com/Nyamka Ward. So the television program is basically where I take 1 to 3 minute segments, and they're just faith PowerPoints. I just take a location where I'm at, like in New York City where I live at, or in another city, or in another country, or part of the world where I'm at, and I just sort of, or I take current events and I just pull a spiritual lesson, or something that can be applied in a spiritual sense to our lives. So they're pretty cool. I would love for you to check them out when you get the opportunity. I also have a blog. It's called A Christian Girl in Her Carnal World: Contemplative Stories of Faith Intertwined with Life in Urban America. So these are just short, these blog entries are actually short autobiographical sketches of just growing up and living as a Christian in cosmopolitan big city USA, which I do believe is a story that, or a side of Christian life in the United States that's really not told at all. So you usually hear about stories from the Bible Belt, conservative America, inner city stories, but the people that are living in the cosmopolitan neighborhoods of big city US, and living out their faith, their stories aren't really told. So I just wanted, that's what the blog is about. So check it out when you get the opportunity. Now you're listening to this podcast. If you have not subscribed to this podcast, I would love for you to subscribe to it. Also, if you, the information that you're hearing, if you think that it's going to be helpful to somebody, informative to somebody, please forward this information, forward this podcast over to your friends, your family, your colleagues, so that it can be a blessing to them as well. Now, let's jump into the teaching for this podcast. I have a passion to campaign against racism in the Christian community, and in doing so, just to promote an authentic multicultural community. The one that Jesus Christ is returning to, and not a community that looks like it's authentically a melting pot when behind closed doors it's a salad bowl. I'm just really been drawn to multiculturalism, multicultural living, against racism, racial discrimination since I was a little girl. So before I knew the scriptures and God's heart on judging people, or excuse me, on letting a person reveal who they are to you instead of judging them based upon the color of their skin or their ethnicity or their nationality. Before I knew the scriptures about that, this was a passion in my heart, as a little girl. So I know this is something God has just put in my heart. Now, I'm discussing experiences or discussing this from the vantage point of growing up in the United States as a Christian, and you know, the amount of insight and observation that I have growing up in this country as a Christian, I believe, has given me just a great amount of just insight to speak on the topic. Now, with that stated, this is not limited to the United States. I'm not authority to speak on it in other countries, but the United States is Western Christianity. This, it's part of Western culture. So a lot of times, many times, I'm going to reference the church in Europe, the historical context, this, the Christianity in the United States came over from Europe. So the granddaddy of Western Christianity is the Roman Church, which came to be named the Roman Catholic Church. So that's where all of the Western Christianity comes from. That's where the roots are at. And so I'm giving historical context. I'm speaking of experiences in the United States, but I'm also going to reference the historical context coming over from Europe and current trends in Europe as well. So that's the background on that. I have two blog entries that I would love for you to check out that give somewhat of my personal experiences with racism, different vantage points about it. One is called Mr. Colorblind and Me. The other one is called Out and Undercover. So as I stated, the blog website is nyamka.wordpress.com. I have to give a number of disclaimers for this series because racism is such a sensitive issue. It's a very sensitive issue. Recent studies have shown that, and recent events have shown that racism is still very much a problem in the hearts of people. It just takes on different forms depending upon the climate, the society, or the culture that you're in. But here in the United States, recent events have shown that racism is still very much an issue in the hearts of people, and even furthermore, it's very much an issue in the Christian community in this country. So I have to give some disclaimers before I really jump into the meat of the order here. The first thing I want to point out is that I started working on and researching for this podcast months ago. So this podcast is not a response or reaction to the most recent high-profile racial events in the United States. And I'm speaking to the most recent ones because we've had a number of racial incidents grab the spotlight in the U.S. over the past year. The recent ones that I'm referencing that this podcast is not a reaction to are the extremely heinous comments of the rancher Clevin Bundy and the NBA owner Donald Sterling. This podcast was in the works well before these events happened. It's just the timing that I'm putting this out is impeccably close to the occurrence of those events. One of the things that I've observed is that racism has different origins in different communities, and I do want to address it specific to how I have observed racism being perpetuated in different communities. So I recently did a podcast called The Sad Souls of Slain Civil Rights Leaders. Once again, it's called The Sad Souls of Slain Civil Rights Leaders. In that podcast, I discuss the racial issues that I've noticed among Black American Christians. And I identify the root of a lot of the racial issues that I've noticed in that community. And the root is anger. It's anger due to centuries of injustices committed against people of African descent. And I talk about how I believe that there is a curse that is attached to that anger, that holding anger and strife and bitterness and animosity as a corporate body releases a spiritual curse. And I believe that it's affecting so many Black neighborhoods in the United States. And I talk about in that podcast how that anger, how through the Bible, we can actually walk in love. We can turn that anger around at the history of what has happened, at current events that has happened, at things that happen, racial incidents that happen to people individually every day. Get that anger out, get love in the midst of dealing with these ugly truths, and be the catalyst for spiritual change that affects the natural circumstance or the natural world around us. Now, in this podcast, I want to discuss ending the legacy of racism among white Christians. And even though I'm dealing with the U.S., racism and Christianity amongst white Christians, it started in Europe. and it just continued over into the United States. But I want to expose the root of this legacy of racism among white American Christians. I want to discuss how it was created, the tragedy that it has created, and how individually it can be disengaged. Now, what I do is that I blend information based on well-known and well-documented historical facts, studies, and my personal experiences that have caused me to speak on this subject. The intent of these podcasts is to address this topic from the perspective God has put on my heart. Racism is an ugly truth. So as with the other podcast I just referenced, The Sad Souls of Slain Civil Rights Leaders, a portion of what I review is an ugly truth. It's a very ugly truth. There are many times in the Bible, from the very first book and throughout until the very last book, where God addresses ugly truths with people. Now, due to our current cultural climate, people are forced to tightly conceal things that are no longer politically acceptable to lay bare for all to see. Therefore, we deceive ourselves into thinking that just because we're putting on a good public face, that the ungodliness we are hiding is acceptable. But what is in our hearts will always rise to the surface, and usually in the form of an interaction with another person. Talking about a topic that history tells us and current studies confirm for us is a resident evil in the souls of many can make people feel uncomfortable or as if you are attacking them. But to be honest with you, when we get defensive because someone is addressing something we know is hanging in the closets of our hearts, that is just pride. I love this analogy. If you throw something at a crowd, the person who yells is the one who got hit. I am speaking these truths in love and not with anger, resentment, or bitterness in my heart towards anyone or any group of people. As I've stated earlier, I have been crusading against racial and gender discrimination since I was a young girl. It is a passion God put in my heart to expose the deception that is at the root of ungodly discrimination. So I want the intent of my heart in this to be clear, because this is a sensitive topic. Now, I also want to address, this is another disclaimer, I want to address comments that I hear people make when discussions about racism come up. Now, I've heard people make comments along these lines. Let's stop talking about racism. Why are we still talking about this? Or, I can't believe people still act like that today. My responses to these comments are, why are we still talking about crime or hunger or poverty or greed or lust or sicknesses and diseases and the rest of the issues that consistently need to be addressed and readdressed? To wonder why we are still talking about racism or dealing with it is similar to wondering why we are still dealing with gossip or dishonesty or jealousy or envy. So let me just give you an example of just another situation and the response of, I wonder why we're still talking about that. If that was to come up, what would people think about that? So let's just say that, you know, it comes out that a senator lied during a news interview, and it comes out, it's on the news that the senator lied. If someone was to say, I can't believe people are still lying today, you know what? We would probably look at that person like they're crazy. Like, we know that people still lie. We know that we're living in a fallen state, that right now we're operating in a fallen world because of what happened in the book of Genesis. We know about, if you are a Christian, you know about the fall of mankind, the redemption, but also waiting for the final redemption when Jesus returns. So we know that these things, the nature of the flesh is going to, and the devil is going to cause things to happen that keep things out of order. And it's not going to be eradicated until Jesus returns. However, if you are a Christian and you say that you are a born again Christian through the power of God, through knowledge, through renewing your mind to the Word of God, you have the opportunity and you have the ability within yourself to disengage the things about life that God never intended to exist. So to wonder why racism is still going on, why we're still talking about it, it doesn't exist, you actually think that you're actually living in heaven. The only thing that we can do is to really acknowledge the issue, address it, solve it, and not be a part of the problem. Racism is America's unpardonable sin. It's a government-backed crime against humanity that lasted for centuries. And because it was legally sustained for so long, it has become a cultural stronghold. Among all the countries currently recognized in our world, it is possibly the most shocking that the United States carried out legalized racism and sustained an overtly racist culture for centuries. The first reason why it shocks so many people about America's marriage to racism and racial discrimination is simply because of the foundational beliefs of this country as outlined in the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. But more so, and even worse than the government's hypocrisy, is the fact that the church in the United States endorsed racism, engaged in racist practices, and was antagonistic towards the civil rights movement to end legalized racism in the United States. And if, for example, there were some churches or denominations that weren't antagonistic to it, at their best, they were just passive towards it. They were not involved with the civil rights movement. They weren't fighting against it, but they weren't for it either. And the church was not the crusader against racism in this country. If it really was, I don't think that legalized racism in the United States would have even lasted as long as it did if it had not been supported by the church. Now, Martin Luther King Jr. wrote about his disillusionment with the non-involvement of white Christians in the civil rights movement. Sunday morning is still the most racially segregated time in the United States. And one of the things that I've heard people talk about is they're saying that we're moving away from that trend because these mega churches, these mega non-denominational churches are now really, you know, they're multicultural, they're melting pots. Let me tell you something. I have gone to multicultural churches, and I will let you know that the melting pot is definitely an appearance. I'm not saying that there are exceptions, but it is definitely an appearance, because after church is over with, there is so much racial segregation that is occurring. It's called social racial segregation. And I'm going to talk about that later, but Sunday morning is still the most racially segregated time in the United States. And really, that's just a reflection of the culture. Now, I remember listening to a minister it was a minister that was doing an interview with a man who was a civil rights activist, and he had marched with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Now, the interviewer asked this man if America had made progress with cutting ties from its openly racist past. And this activist said that America was making strides in every area except in the church. And he pointed that out. The church was the only place that he looked at and he saw that progress was not being made, or was making the least amount of progress towards ending sort of just living in a racial atmosphere. And the minister who was interviewing this activist made these comments: except the church should be the first place. And you know what? I add to this. I say that the church should have been the only place where racism was non-evident in the United States, that people should have looked at churches, they should have looked at the Christian community, and they should have not seen the racial segregation. They should have not seen the heinous racist things that have happened in the church previously, and the racial segregation and the racial discrimination issues that are going on right now. But unfortunately, it is always the church has always been the main place and continues to be the place that reflects the issues with racism and race relations in the United States. We have a choice whether to give place to racist thoughts and beliefs in our hearts or to resist the temptation to engage in racism. A divorce needs to occur between racism and the Christian community in the United States. And for the purposes of this podcast, a divorce needs to occur between racism and the white Christian community in the United States. Now, you know, people are being forced to play a horribly deceptive game right now. And that is, in public, we are being forced to be politically correct. But you cannot legislate a person's heart. And I'm just so struggling with the atmosphere that, you know, this political correctness, it's really just creating a lot of, you know, really not genuine. It's just because of what people say in front of people and what they're saying behind closed doors are two different things. And I'm a fan of respecting people, but I'm not a fan of creating a culture where you're forcing people to be dishonest, because people are going to do that for so long before that busts. And that's when you have the countercultural movements. That's when you have the riots, because people are being forced and oppressed to do stuff that they don't agree with. And after a certain point, that just busts. So, you know, a pastor, in speaking to his church about racism and acknowledging that he had racist beliefs, and he was speaking to a multicultural church congregation. I was amongst the number. And I remember when he made this statement, I will never forget this. Monday through Friday, the government is forcing you to interact with people of other races. What is going on inside of a person's heart can only be repressed for a period of time before they have to do or say something that reflects what they really believe. It says this in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, verses 6 and 7. Eat not the bread of him who has a hard, grudging, and envious eye, neither desire his dainty foods, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As one who reckons, he says to you, eat and drink, yet his heart is not with you, but it is grudging the cost. Behind closed doors, after ministry service is over and everyone feels safe expressing their true opinions, I have heard some of the most racist comments I have ever heard in my life from people in leadership positions in ministry organizations and churches. I call this concealed overt racism. It's when you're waiting for the right time to reveal your racist beliefs, stereotypes, and ideologies. I've also observed people in churches week after week after week, which I've referenced earlier, in these multicultural, non-denominational churches or multicultural denominational churches, whatever it may be. So the whole thing is, I've observed people in Christian multicultural environments week after week practicing what I call racially based social segregation, where the only people in the church that they are seeking to make connections with to fellowship after church is over with are people that are their own skin color. Racially based social segregation is a form of covert racism. A person is not explicitly telling someone, I don't want to hang out with you after church is over with. They are discriminately picking the people they want to fellowship with, and race is a factor. I titled this podcast Gandhi's Rejection because, and I titled this series Gandhi's Rejection because I believe that in modern times, Gandhi's experiences with racism in the Christian community is the most powerful individual indictment against the strongest hypocrisy in modern Christian culture, and that is racism. The church also has a strong history of discrimination against women, but that is another podcast. Let's get back to Gandhi's experience. Gandhi desired to become a Christian, and while living in South Africa, he decided to attend a worship service. He came to the door of a church, and he was told he could not enter the church because he was black, and if he tried to enter, he would be thrown down the stairs by church assistants. After this incident, Gandhi rejected Christianity. His negative experiences with white Christians would continue when he witnessed the evangelism practices of white missionaries in India. And I'm going to reference that a little bit later because there's a legacy with that too. But what he witnessed with that was that these white missionaries were evangelizing the Indian people from the perspective that the Indian people and their culture was inferior. Gandhi made a number of now famous statements separating Christians from Jesus Christ because of his firsthand experiences with racism. And I just want to share one of those quotes with you. The background on this quote is that an author was asking Gandhi, why is it that he seemed to love quoting the words of Jesus Christ, but he adamantly rejected becoming a Christian or becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ? This was Gandhi's response to this question. He said, "Oh, I don't reject Christ. I love Christ. It's just that so many of you Christians are so unlike Christ." Today, racism is manifested differently. It is subtle and concealed. You can no longer turn somewhere at the door, literally, as was the case with Gandhi in South Africa and also in all churches across the United States for decades. But racist attitudes, beliefs, and stereotypes are still in people's hearts. And that is where the door to genuine acceptance or rejection is located. To be honest with you, I'd rather have a person slam a physical door in my face as a sign that they don't accept me because I'm black, then interact with me and laugh and joke with me, but in their heart, there's a barrier or a boundary in place against me because of the color of my skin. Eventually, what is in the heart will come out, and I have personally experienced that. A study was done entitled, "Why Don't We Practice What We Preach?" by a group of professors from prestigious American universities. The purpose of the study was to evaluate the connection between religion and racism in the United States since the Civil Rights Act. They surveyed 20,000 white Christians and noted three interesting facts that I want to point out. And just a side note, the reason why they picked white Christians was because they believe that white Christians make up the largest demographic group in the United States. So that's why they were picked for this study. Now, the three facts from this study that I want to point out, and like once again, the name of the study was "Why Don't We Practice What We Preach?" But here are three facts from it. Members of religious congregations tend to harbor prejudiced views of other races. Fact number two. Highly devout groups showed the greatest correlation between racism and religion. Fact number three, people that did not have strong religious beliefs had significantly less racism. And I just have to really highlight something about fact two and fact three, that they're saying that the study found out that the people that were the most devout were the most racist. The people that were the least devout were the least racist. And that is going to so tie into what I'm going to be talking about during this series. But when I studied the involvement of white people in the civil rights movement, the majority of them were definitely not they were not Christians, which is really sad. And this study is just showing that the people that are the most racist are the people that are, quote unquote, the most devout, the most religious. Very interesting. It ties into what I learned about the civil rights movement and you know what Dr. King his like I said it earlier, his disillusionment with the non-involvement of white Christians in the civil rights movement. Now, when I was reading a write-up about this study, the author of the article stated that he was curious about the findings from this study. And here's the reason why he was curious. Because he had always been intrigued growing up in the South, in the Bible Belt, where there's this strong Christian heritage, and that Christian heritage is positioned right next to that deep-rooted legacy of Southern racism. And he just was always intrigued about how these two can go together. But the unfortunate truth is that they've been married to each other for centuries. It didn't just start in the United States. It's just the continuation is in the United States. And because the United States is, you know, the superpower at the moment, and it has been for quite some while, and in the sort of the land of dreams, that the fact that this is, you know, happening over here is catching. It has been catching a lot of attention, but it started in Europe. And that just was when I read that about this author's and how he was intrigued about racism and this Christian heritage always been married to each other in the South. You know, it's something that's been intriguing for centuries. And you know, unfortunately, I have to echo this author's sentiments. I have been disillusioned by the amount of racism and prejudice that I have experienced and has been expressed to me by white Christians. So just a couple of personal experiences that really push me to say, you know what? Get out here and let's start talking about this. The first thing that happened was 4 years ago, I moved to New York City, and many people call New York City the melting pot city of America. And the amount of racism that I've witnessed in the Christian community in New York has absolutely stunned me. I would have thought that the church community here in the melting pot city of America would have epitomized the diversity of this city more than the community at large. But I was far from the truth. It has been through these experiences here in New York that I recognize a pattern of behavior that I'm going to discuss more specifically and in more detail in this series. Now, the next event that influenced me to just, you know, come out and let's start having these discussions were recent statements made by a reality TV star who classifies themselves as a Christian. And this individual's comments were racist. And what happened was that people responded and said, "Here it is again, another white American who's conservative, Christian, and racist." The academic world knows that there's a long-standing relationship between racism and the Western church. Unfortunately, it has been going on for centuries, and there are plenty of books and studies that have been done about racism and Christianity. Now, I want to clearly define some words that I'm going to use quite often in this podcast. Just because I want to make sure that we're on the same page is exactly what I'm talking about. So the first word or the first term is the Western Church or Western Christianity. The Western Church or Western Christianity is the branch of Christianity that originates with the Roman Church or later the Roman Catholic Church and the denominations that are derived from the Catholic Church. That includes Lutheran, Presbyterian, Methodist, Anglican, Baptist, and the various Pentecostal denomination. This also includes non-denominational churches as well. The definition of racism is a way of behaving or thinking that shows you do not like or respect people who belong to races that are different from your own and that you believe your race is better than others. The definition of white supremacy. White supremacy is the belief or promotion of the belief that white people are superior to people of other racial backgrounds and that therefore whites should be politically, economically, and socially dominant over non-whites. The term is also typically used to describe a political ideology that perpetuates and maintains the social, political, historical, and/or industrial dominance of whites. The definition of covert racism. Covert racism is a form of racial discrimination that is disguised and subtle, rather than public or obvious. Concealed in the fabric of society, covert racism discriminates against individuals through often unnoticeable or seemingly passive methods. Covert racially based decisions are often hidden or rationalized with an explanation that society is more willing to accept. Something that I want to drill home, covert racism is modern contemporary racism in the United States. It is the intelligent and politically correct way people carry out their racism. Now, race in and of itself is not a biological reality. Biologically, there are no different races in the human population. Race is a social construct. As I briefly studied the history of our current racial classification system, it is rooted in a spirit of division. And it started basically around the time, is basically the European colonization and the New World and the enslavement of the Native Americans and the Africans. So the purpose was to distinguish the Europeans who would merge the different ethnic groups in Europe into a single white race or white people in order to distinguish themselves from a superiority perspective from the people groups they were colonizing and enslaving. The process that occurred is now considered scientific racism. So this modern racial classification system I'm white, you're black, the origins of it is so ungodly. It's so ungodly. It's evil. I mean, I'm going to use the word race, but the origins of this is nothing but from the pit of hell. The way people classify and affiliate and join themselves based upon the color of the skin and the white race and the black race and the Asian race and just the whole racial classification system, the origin of it is evil. This is not of God. It's one thing to understand, yes, my skin is this, my hair texture is this. There is diversity. God has created diversity in every capacity. But to turn that into a system to divide people and to create this racial caste system and just the spirit that was behind that was not the spirit of God. It has shown itself to be something that is so evil and ungodly. And I'm talking about how this modern racial classification system. In every aspect of creation, God created diversity. The unfortunate thing is that only within human beings has that diversity been used as a tool of division. People celebrate the breathtaking diversity of the environment, the planets, the trees, the different landscapes. We look in awe at the diversity of the animal population. However, when it comes to the physical differences in other people, our perspectives are very different. For centuries, the major denominations of Western Christianity have implemented racist policies, promoted and even perpetuated heinous acts of racial violence in the name of God, defended slavery, racial segregation, the doctrine of white supremacy and anti-Semitism. It was not until very recent times, i.e. the 1960s and forward, and even with some churches into the 1990s before they denounced their racist practices. The indisputable and very sad fact is that the Western Church at its worst fought to maintain legalized racism in the United States and at its best was content with doing nothing about it. It is a phenomenon that has attracted and continues to attract observation that the United States for decades has had the largest Christian population in the world. But yet it is a country that has practiced legalized racism from its infancy until on paper it was outlawed with the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And even though the act on paper banned racial discrimination, it really wasn't until the 1990s that it practically began, and I stress the word began, to affect every aspect of American life, and racism started to become countercultural and eventually evolved to the current place in that it is overt racism is no longer acceptable in American culture. So overall, that is over 200 years of a racist culture in a country that was labeled as a Christian nation and home to the world's largest Christian population. So on that note, I'm going to end this podcast, and this is part one of this series, Gandhi's Rejection. So I would love for you to just stick with this. We're working from beginning to end, from identity, from background to the roots to what has occurred because of this, and then finally to what the solution will be. So I want to thank you so much for joining me for this podcast. Once again, my name is Nyamka, and the title of this podcast is Rebranded Christianity. So I hope that you have a really good day.